This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
There's definitely, more opportunities for teams to take a jump. There's certainly teams who have taken a step back. I think for us, we need to remain diligent and pragmatic about how we build this. We don't want to skip steps. And I think sometimes when you do skip steps, expectations kind of build and you make mistakes. And I don't think we want to do that.
Scared to make mistakes. That's how I heard it. They don't want to skip steps. They're averse to taking risk. That's the Bulls. Mark Everly, the general manager, talking about their approach this offseason. We heard from him last week, both in a press conference setting and also on Mullion Hall right here on these very airwaves. Mark Grody in for Layla Rahimi as we continue with Rahimi and Harris talking about the Bulls and everything that has gone right and everything that has gone wrong. One of those lists is very long. One of those lists is very short. And I got to tell y'all, when I saw that the Bulls traded Lonzo Ball to the Cleveland Cavaliers for small forward Isaac Okoro, I first thought, am I having deja vu? Am I having deja vu? Let me tell you why, Mark. Because last year, the Bulls traded Alex Caruso, foregoing draft compensation. Most thought he could get a first rounder for him. In fact, he ended up trading with a team in Oklahoma City that had first rounders for days. They said, no, we prefer the player over the draft pick. We'll take Josh Giddey. And you know what? Josh Giddey was fine in his first year as a Bull. He's going to get paid, hopefully $25 million or less, and not $30 million. But that's neither here nor there. Alex Caruso went on to win a title, an NBA championship. The Cleveland Cavaliers are hoping that the addition of Lonzo Ball as a veteran backcourt presence, as a possible replacement straight up for Ty Jerome, can help them win a title. And what did the Bulls get back? Did they get draft compensation? Did they learn their lesson from a year ago and say, hey, let's get some draft assets so that when a big star becomes available that we don't have to chase in free agency and we can make a trade, we'll be ready? No, they said, give us the player Isaac Okoro who can slide in as our starting small forward after the team that's trying to contend for a championship deemed him not good enough to be a part of their championship rotation, their contending rotation, if you will, after winning 60-plus games last year. It's unacceptable. And the only thing I can think of is that the Bulls are either too scared to get the draft picks to be in position to make the move because it's a lot easier to slow play it and just be like, oh, this is a guy that can be on our team. A guy, by the way, that was taken in the 2020 draft, one spot behind Patrick Williams, and we know where that situation is. Williams of the extension variety, and say, we'll just slot him in and we'll play for the middle like we always do. Not ready to take any home run swings. And it's bad. And it's like they've learned nothing. And I just want to know that the Bulls are open to optionality, trying to build a team through different avenues. And there's no evidence that they've learned that you can build a team through different avenues. It's going to be the long play of, we'll get a guy good enough to play. And, you know, there's talk now that they'll trade either Iodosumu, Kobe White, try to re-sign Trey Jones to have more, not bad talent, but just non-championship caliber talent. You know who agrees with me on this? I think, based on what I saw, Stacey King, the guy that calls the games on CHSN, the guy who is one of the co-hosts of the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. Listen to what he had to say about the Lonzo Ball trade.
You know, I'm a big fan of Lonzo. I hated to see that happen. You know, the guy has battled back from so much adversity,
yeah,
proven so many people wrong. And I thought, you know, this year after they signed him during the season last year, that he was going to stick around and he'd be a great piece. You know, he'd be a great piece to this young team as there. And he's still young. It's not like Lonzo's in his 30s. You know, he's still a young player, and he's got a lot of basketball left. I hate to see him go. I'm a big fan of the kid. He's a 3-and-D guy, and it's one of those same situations, Mark, that Alex Caruso was in. You know, Bulls trade him to a contender, a team that has a chance to win a championship. You know, whether they did that you know, looking out for Zoe, we don't know. But it works out that way. The Bulls are not, let's be honest, the Bulls are not winning a championship next year. Okay, they may not win a championship in the next 5 or 10 years. But what you're doing is you're putting yourself in position to get to that level. And you got to draft right. You have to hit home runs in the draft. I mean, there's been some major misses.
So to hear Stacey King say that, who knows far more about the inner workings of the NBA than I do, it just further confirms that they're not in a hurry to do anything.
They're just hoping.
Hoping
they're
a prayer.
Just hoping. Yeah, let's just see. Let's throw these guys out there. Hey, man, maybe you've got something this year. Maybe you've got something in Okoro, or maybe not. Maybe Bouzelis is going to be a superstar in the NBA. I mean, this is what they're thinking. Hey, maybe it's good. Maybe Kobe White does take the next step. Maybe Josh Giddey is a triple doubles machine, and he gets better at defense.
Do you get any feeling that there's any real pressure on the Bulls to be better?
Well, not right now, because for better or for worse, your Bulls front office was told that they get another bite at the apple. They get another shot, right? They are get the first manifestation of this era of Bulls, the Arturas Mark Eversley era, didn't work. They're getting one more shot at it, which means it doesn't matter for the next couple of years. Stacey also, did he just say they may not get a title for the next 5 to 10 years?
Like I said, and this is from Drew Stevens. He tweeted it out over the weekend. The Bulls are 5 to 10 years away from being 5 to 10 years away. Also, I follow on Instagram, just for fun, because I'm a nerd, the language nerds, right? This quote directly applies, in my opinion, to the Bulls front office. Courage is knowing it might hurt and doing it anyway. Stupidity is the same, and that's why life is hard. Courage is knowing it might hurt, but doing it anyway. Stupidity is the same, and that's why life is hard. I think the Bulls lack the courage to go out and do radical things that aren't even radical because everybody else in the NBA is doing them.
Why do you think that is?
Because there's no pressure.
Because people still go to the United Center.
You said
and that's their value. That's what the Chicago Bulls organization values above everything else.
And if they
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to get down to the bottom.
No. And if they so happen to develop a superstar such as Modest, we heard them talk about that last
week. They get lucky and they draft Derrick Rose.
They said, we think our way of developing talent is the way to find the superstar. Is that what happened with Patrick Williams? He's still on the roster, right?
I think so.
He's still getting paid.
A lot of money.
And so I just wonder why anyone would have faith that they're going to be able to do it their way, this way, the way that no one else is doing it. Other teams who develop their talent, it's because they have top five picks. That was their most recent top five pick. What is he doing currently? Patrick Williams. Oof. That's where my concern lies as we talk about the Bulls and their latest move, which is trading Lonzo Ball for Isaac Okoro with the Cavaliers, who, in my opinion, are the front runners to win the East next year. Here on Raheem and Harris, Mark Grody and for Layla. Let's go back out to the phone lines. You got thoughts about this? Hit us up and let us know. 312-644-6767. We do have a call. It's Doug from Zion. You're on Raheem and Harris, 670 The Score. What's up, Doug?
Doug. Hey, how's it going? Good morning. I just have extreme Bulls frustration right now. That was a terrible move, but it was a summary of this administration. And I don't know if it's from the top down, but in a situation, especially where you have a window of opportunity where the East is weakened by injuries to Jason Tatum, Tyrese Halliburton, and not so much, but Dame Lillard as well. And this is what you do. I think the ticket sales is what's keeping them in their jobs. And they don't really, like you said, they don't have pressure. And I just want to say this is a terrible move. And they're just trash right now.
What would you have preferred they do with Lonzo Ball? Keep him or trade him for picks? What would you have preferred?
Well, the window to trade him was gone. Once they saw that he could play and he could play well, they kind of gave away all the leverage that they had. Now they're guard heavy. And these other teams know that. And, you know, organizations like the Magic giving up all those picks for Desmond Bane shows that they know that this is a unique opportunity to compete in the East. So I don't know what the answer is, but this has been a slowly slope going down a bad way.
You know what it is? It's just more of the same. Thanks so much for the call, Doug. We appreciate it. And I think that's the problem. It's more of the same. People are already thinking about a fourth straight matchup in the play-in with the Miami Heat, who, by the way, if the Heat go out and show you that they can go make moves after getting rid of Jimmy Butler, they may be above the play-in
now.
Who
knows? Because that's another good organization. It's a well-run, well-coached team.
That's the key, right? You can have a good coach, but if you don't have a good front office, it's not going to work.
That's
you have
right.
a good front office, but if you don't have a good coach, it's not going to work.
Right.
Do the Bulls have a good coach?
I mean, yeah, I think he's a good coach.
Do the Bulls have a good front office?
I think that's
office?
A good word for him. No. It would not appear that they have a good front office.
I just wonder who's carrying water for this front office besides the people who employ this front office.
What do you mean, who's carrying water?
Like, who's saying, yeah, I believe good. In Arturis Karnišovas and his vision?
Michael Reinsdorf.
I said besides him, besides ownership. Is there anyone on board?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, anybody in our business? Anybody in NBA circles?
The Bulls front office right now, as it stands, are the laughingstock of the NBA.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe the Knicks.
Do you think that part of what the Bulls think they're doing is the example that you were just giving, or the caller did about the NBA with the injuries that exist in the Eastern Conference? And I think you said it, I don't know if it was yesterday or whenever, that that the Eastern Conference is wide open, right? Like, it's there for the taking.
It's wide open if you were in the playoffs last year and you have a superstar on your team.
Right, but do you think that the Bulls look at that and say, we can compete in this Eastern Conference. We can get a sixth seed out of this with the roster that we have and the development that we can do with these players?
I think they're always down to compete, but the difference between competing is what are they competing for? They're competing to make it into the playoffs.
Right.
And lose in the playoffs or hope somebody gets hurt in the playoffs.
Was it when we were during our meeting that we were discussing that we could already anticipate the press conference at the end of this year if they do get into the playoffs and lose in five games in that best of seven series? And they'd say, well, we achieved our goal. We got
did,
it.
We did better
we were
than 14 last
year. 14-2 in the last 16 games of the regular season. That was this year.
And we got our team to the playoffs somewhere they did not get to last year.
Yes.
So that is improvement.
But you talk about baby steps.
I mean,
baby steps, man.
Let's be really honest about
this.
We
need an adult step from the Bulls. No more baby steps. It's time for a grown-up step.
Yeah, 847 on the text line. The Bulls would be better next year because the East is weaker. The management's just going to say the Bulls improved, but it's a smokescreen Jerry will use.
And that's why we're talking about it. That's why we're giving you the transparency. Because they're not going
to
give you
the Bulls have to be better next year, right?
No, like they don't. No.
I'm saying they will be because who did they lose? Like they have the same roster. It's going to be more cohesion as well. And then you hope Bouzelas takes a jump. Like this team is going to be better next year.
Robbie, do you remember how we talked about how Detroit could be better next year or the Vikings could be better or the Packers could be better or the Bears could be better, but the record may not reflect it? Well, with the Bears, it would probably reflect it. Because the challenges are so much different in terms of who they have to play. Everybody else knows the East is better, too. Everybody else in the East is getting better, too. So the Bulls staying the same when everybody was already better than them in the East. Like, do you think the Bulls are better than the Bucks today? Bobby Portis just resigned. Dame Lillard's not walking out of that tunnel.
They don't have the star, but I think from 1 through 9, I would rather have the Bulls players than the Bucks.
I think you're sorely mistaken. Wait. And when I say that, I'm saying wait till free agency plays out.
It's Giannis and who else? Like, Dame is going to be out the whole year, but that's not the point.
You think the Bucks are going to let Giannis just sit there for a year and not go?
I don't know what assets they have to trade. That's the only thing, but that's unrelated. I just think that the Bulls here, like, if I were to go in the mind of AK, he traded an asset who a year ago we didn't think was going to even really play basketball at a high competitive rate anymore, traded him for a starting small forward. In his mind, AK thinks he won that deal. I don't agree with him because I think we know how modern basketball works. You need picks. But in AK's mind, he's like, oh, I took an asset I didn't have, and now I have a starting two-way type of player.
Who's the two-way player?
I would say, I mean, Okoro, like,
Okoro.
He doesn't necessarily score
I thought you were talking about Giddey for a minute. I was just making sure we weren't talking about
Giddey. Well, Giddey's the MVP, but it's like But I mean, Okoro, he shot 37% from three last year, 39 the year before. Like, in AK's mind, he's like, I got the player I wanted. I want a three, like, I wanted a two-way player. I got him.
How all old right. is Giddey, by the way?
23? Yeah, he's...
God, you act like he's a finished product that can never, ever improve in his
cook,
life.
Mark Cook.
22, actually.
Sorry, 22 years old. 22
years old, and you act like this guy shouldn't even be in the NBA.
That's not what I'm saying. I think that
you
the
don't
Bulls
even want them to pay the average point guard salary to this guy.
$38 million? No, I don't. I don't want them to pay Josh.
Can you believe that number?
We can go down the list of people who are overpaid right now and are albatrosses on their current teams because they're getting paid too much.
He's not going to get $38 million.
I don't want Josh Giddey.
That just loves Josh Giddey.
I don't want Josh Giddey to be in that category. Is my point. And that's where the Bulls are headed if they pay this man, bidding again against who? Themselves. That's what you don't want. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We have Joe in Forson. You're on with Raheem and Harris, Mark Grody in for Layla here on 670 The Score.
Joe! Hi, I was just going to defend the Bulls a little bit.
I got to hear this.
Because when you look at the teams that are successful at the present time, Oklahoma and Indiana, they did go with more younger players without the established names. So that's why they're probably losing some of the older players. And the Bulls before, were number one in the East when they had the three stars until the injuries took them out. So you can't really – you can make an argument that they do see talent when they signed Caruso as a free agent, and then they did get a good player for trading him when Caruso wasn't in their timeline. Because he's a great role player, but the Bulls really right now need to work on more stars, trying to find them. And the stars do seem to come in the mid-first round at times now. When you look at the Greek Freak up in Wisconsin, and that some of these good players, like the top player from Oklahoma, he came from the mid round too. So it can be done, but it's just gonna. You have to get lucky on those draft picks.
Yeah, I think it is a combination of both luck and skill. Thank you so much for your call, Joe. But I would say this. You have to put yourself in position to get lucky multiple times as opposed to getting lucky once a year in the middle of the lottery of the draft when you don't have a top five pick. And Sam Presti, who did that, has a track record of getting stars. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. And he also has a track record of trading stars and getting things for them. Look at Paul George. I think that's the biggest difference, is the Bulls have been a step slow each and every time when it comes to moving stars out, talking about like a future Hall of Famer like DeMar DeRozan, and not getting enough back. That is the issue. And there's nothing that's changing. I don't think they trust their ability to draft multiple guys and develop stars in the way they're telling us, because their actions show they'd rather have players than lottery tickets. You need more lottery tickets.